subject. Father, we just thank you for the students here. We thank you right now, Lord God, for ever-increasing Word Training Center. We thank you for our apostle, Lord God, Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr., Lord God, our apostolic source. And we thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, for what God is doing in his life. And Lord, we thank you for the impartation, for the revelation, the information, the revelation, and the impartation that we're receiving, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God, our lives are so impacted that we will never be the same. And that we, Lord God, will go out, as it was said of those disciples and apostles in the book of Acts, those who have turned the world upside down have come hither also. We just give you all the praise and all the glory for what you're doing by your Spirit. Amen. All right, I just want to greet everybody. I know we have an internet audience that's listening or will be listening later on in the week to the class. I do want to say that everybody, for the most part, did extremely well on the test. Everything was straightforward. I was just talking to the class prior to us going online about, you know, the test, not so much specifically, but just that it seemed like everybody got a really good grasp of what the culture and while the spirit of honor is all about. We're going to take a kind of different twist today. We're going to still be talking about honor, but we're going to be talking about a major hindrance to the spirit of honor, something that keeps people in dishonor and keeps them from, or keep them from being all that God wants them to be. And that one thing is the spirit of pride. Dr. Leroy Thompson Jr. gave me a supplemental book, and he told me I don't even have to present the book, but he wanted me to present the material that's in the book. So for this class and possibly next class, depending on how far I get with it, we're going to be talking about a major hindrance to walking in the spirit of honor, and that hindrance is the spirit of pride. Just give me, when we get like 5 minutes, let me know where I'm at. So that way I won't go over. All right, pride, the root of all dishonor. Now, you're going to have to take good notes because, like I said, the information that we're going to be talking about specifically is not in your book. Some of the references are, but not everything in particular. So, you know, go back and listen to the teaching if you don't get certain things that were stated so you can refresh your notes. And that's one thing good about the internet. You can go back and you can look at the classes. I'm watching the Apostles class regularly, going back looking at it because sometimes I just can't keep up. So I just have to go back and with a Roku player, you can hit pause, you can rewind, and you can get everything you need. All right. We're going to have to take a really in-depth look of what pride is. And I want to state here that the biggest adversary to the spirit of honor is the spirit of pride. And pride is, the Bible said, pride goeth before the fall. Pride was the thing that caused Satan, who was Lucifer, to be cast out of heaven in his high position because his heart was lifted up with pride. And pride is a monster. It's something that's rooted on the inside. And we have to make sure that we don't allow that spirit of pride to cause us not to walk in all that God would have us to walk in. There was a song back when I was in college or high school, and the name of the song was called "It's the Pride." And for some reason, when I was studying on the subject, the lyrics or some of the lyrics of that song just kind of started going over and over in my head. And one of the lyrics was, when you finally break it on down, it's the pride that makes you do the things you do. You know, when you reduce it all the way down, pride is the root of all sin. When you reduce it down or break it down to its lowest term, pride is the root of all sin. And so you want to make sure that you get to the root of the matter and destroy any pride, any arrogance, any haughtiness that'll keep you and rob you from what God has called you to do. Many people fall prey of Satan's temptation and the trap of the sin of pride, which in most cases renders them incapable of getting back up again because, you know, they're in dishonor because that seed of pride is so deeply rooted on the inside. Pride will keep you back from the position that God has called you to, or whatever God has called you to do. It'll hinder and it would block you from reaching your full potential. Because pride is diametrically opposite or opposes honor. Because honor, with honor, there's humility. With honor, there is a sense of unity, of oneness, of covenant. But pride and arrogance and haughtiness is an individualistic spirit, or individual person who wants to be, you know, my own ability, you know, not recognizing your dependency upon God, but recognizing yourself, your being selfish, being, you know, arrogant to the point of where, you know, those singulars, instead of, you know, Lord, it's all about you. It's not me, it's not I, but it's Christ that living on the inside of me. The opposite of pride, and we just talked about it, is humility. Jesus was the perfect example of humility. If you want to turn with me in your Bibles, we can go to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. And we want to look at a perfect example of someone who walked in complete and total humility. And that was Jesus. In Philippians chapter 2, we'll look at verse 5 and probably go down to verse 11. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation, and he took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself." I was talking about Jesus. Humbled himself. One translator said he stoops, you know, even lower, because he was essentially one with God in heaven. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And they were in heaven. But Jesus emptied himself. And he took off his royal robe, his reins. He took off all his deity and his sovereignty. And he stepped into an earth suit and became a man. Just like we are, with the same passions, with the same hurts, you know, so that he could be a savior for us, because the Bible says that, you know, that he, you know, in all points was tempted just like we were, yet without sin, you know. But it says here that and he made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Wherefore God had also highly exalted him and has given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Because of Jesus' act of humility. And when I say humility, what I'm talking about is humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God, you know, allowing God to be completely and totally in control, where, you know, Lord, you're the potter, and I'm the clay. You mold me, you shape me in the way that you want me to be. One of the things I've had to learn to do, and you have to be comfortable in your own skin. You have to be comfortable doing what God has called you to do. You know, not everybody is going to always be in the forefront. Now, God has us all with different talents, different abilities, different giftings. You know, once you find what it is God has called you to do, I always make this statement: you are more anointed doing what God called you to do than any other time in your life. When you start functioning in your unique ability, your unique talent, you know, you're letting the God that's in you come out. and display itself among other people. And one of the things, if you were either watched Sunday service last Sunday or were a part of it, you know, one of the things Dr. Montrell was talking about, he said, you know, the anointing on your life and the gift on your life is not for you, it's for other people. You know, and you act in humility when you put that gift and that talent on display for God. And you recognize this, you know, it's not me, but it's God. You know, I like the expression, I'm just a mailman. I'm just delivering the mail. You know, whether it's singing, whether it's playing an instrument, whether it's, you know, being a parking lot attendant, working in the nursery. I'm just doing what God called me to do. And by doing that, your life is touching and affecting other people. And that's an act of humility because, I don't like to use the word denying self, but you are letting go of anything that you might have wanted to do and allowing God to do what he wants to do in you. You know, there was a song years ago by a Christian artist, and it said that inside my room, I hear the people crying. Inside my room, you know, millions are slowly dying. Beyond these walls, you know, he said, but Lord, I'm just a child with my own dreams and my own visions. You know, how can I go, Lord, but yet how can I stay? You know, so little time, Lord, I have lessons that I need to be learning. But hearts out there are yearning for me to show them the way, you know. But if you say go, I'll never ask to stay. You know, in other words, I have things I want to do, but there's nothing you can do for the cause of Christ. There's nothing greater than doing what God called you to do. You know, that's humility, is laying it all out for God and say, Lord, I want to be where you want to be. I want to be in your perfect will. And you see, that in itself is honor because you're honoring God. You're honoring what he's called you to do. You're honoring and you're just, Jesus was, like I said, a perfect example. Jesus, he said, Lord, if there's any other way, you know, can you let this cup pass? But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. You know, that's, you know, and by his act of ultimate submission, the Bible says God highly exalted him. You see, when you walk in submission and humility, you are exalted. But when you walk in pride and arrogance, we're going to see you actually brought low. Because pride and arrogance and haughtiness is a self-esteem or overly inflated ego of your supposed abilities and talents. You know, your talent and your ability can only take you so far. But it's you taking what God has given you and coupling it with his anointing, with his grace that takes you to the next level. Amen. Let me move on, okay? I don't want to get stuck there. We got several things I want to talk about. All right, so then what is pride? Okay, this is something you're going to definitely, well, let me make sure I didn't miss anything up here that we need to know. Okay, let's go with what is pride. Pride is a reasonable or justifiable sense of one's worth or position, living for self, or a sense of being better than others, having excessive self-esteem. Read that again. Pride is a reasonable or justifiable sense of one's worth or position, living for self or a sense of being better than others, having excessive self-esteem. Okay, let me give you a definition of arrogance. Arrogance is a feeling or an impression of superiority manifested in an overbearing manner or presumptuous claim. It is an attitude of feeling superior and scorning others because of their intellectual level, the color of their skin, their native country, or any other excuse that might exalt you above others. You know, that's just being arrogant, you know, thinking I'm better than you, that I'm in a better position. No, one thing I've learned, and I'll never forget years ago when I first started out in prison ministry, I was talking to another fellow worker in prison ministry, and I was getting kind of restless, and I said, Lord, you know, I know you got more for me, you know, and I'm just being patient. And I was talking with him, and he saw a little, sometimes the Bible says you can get weary in well-doing. And he looked at me and he said, Brother Calhoun, one thing you always want to remember, you want to stay small in your own eyes. Stay small in your own eyes. In other words, never exalt yourself. You know, always, you know, see yourself as being humble, as being, even though, you know, God may be using you, but you want to stay small. And when somebody compliments you, or somebody praise or give you exalt you, you know, always give God the glory or the praise. If somebody said you did an excellent job, I just thank God. I give God all the praise. You know, Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God, and that grace I don't take in vain. You know, Paul says, you know, even though I was, you know, I was trained by the best, he said, but I count all of that as done, as refuge, as waste, you know, that I might win, gain Christ. You know, so Paul recognized, even though he had a lot of natural talent, a lot of natural schooling, you know, education-wise, trained by the best, but he said, I count all that as loss, as done, that I might win, gain the prize of Christ. You know, and so when you get to that position where you walk in humility and recognize it really is not about you, but it's about you doing what God called you to do, walking in submission to what God called you to do, and then allowing him to use you. You know, the more you submit, the more and empty yourself, the more he can fill himself in you, and he can be displayed. Because I don't want people to see me. I remember when I was back as a student at Southern University, and I used to minister on campus there. And I used to get behind the podium, and I said, and just imagine this was a big wooden podium. And sometimes I said, I'd rather you not even see me. And I just would hide and just read the Bible, and all you would just hear the words, you know, because I didn't want people to see me, but I wanted them to see Christ, you know. Because a lot of times it's so easy to get lifted up with pride. So let's move on. Give you another definition. Haughtiness. Haughtiness is having or showing an insulting attitude of people who think that they are better, smarter, or more important than other people. Those who are blatantly and disdainfully proud. Haughty or haughtiness. To be used by God, you are, and I just stated this earlier, you always want to stay small in your own eyes, which is humility. What does the Bible say about pride? In Proverbs 21 and 4, it says, a high look and a proud heart and the plowing of wickedness is sin. So a high look and a proud heart. Now, the root cause of Satan's fall was a heart issue. He said in his heart, I want to be like the Most High. I want to be like God. I want to exalt my throne above the stars of God. And because of that, the Bible says Lucifer, who was the praise leader. Matter of fact, the Bible says there was like pipes in him where music flowed out of him. He led the worship and the praise in heaven. That's why he can take music and get people now to get into that performance mode, to where instead of people praising God, they performing, and it's an entertainment, because he knows that if we ever get into praise the way God, and we're getting there, thank God, you know, we're there by faith, you know, where God's presence and God's glory can manifest itself, you know, that's when God now is able to show us his glory. Because, you know, when the praises go up, the anointing comes down. You know, when you begin to praise God and as an atmosphere of oneness, you know, and even that in itself is an act of humility. You're humbling yourself before the mighty hand of God by acknowledging His goodness and His greatness, you know, His sovereignty. And when you do that, then God now is able to come down. And whenever He comes down, whenever His anointing and His glory comes down, you know, we know God never comes down empty-handed. You know, we know that the glory is all that God is, all that God has, and all that God can do. The glory of God is the manifested presence of God in our midst. And so when that glory comes down because of our humility, well, then now God is able to show up and show out in our behalf. And all we need to do is just be still and know that He's God. And that's the beauty of knowing how to worship and how to praise God and how to flow in that. Amen. All right. I'm probably pronouncing this word wrong because it's new to me. I'm going to spell it first and then I'll attempt to pronounce it. It's spelled L-E-V-I-A-T-H-A-N. And I pronounce it Leviathan. Anybody got a better pronunciation than that? Leviathan. L-E-V-I-A-T-H-A-N. Leviathan. Anyway, it says that pride and arrogance and haughtiness are defined as the spirit of Leviathan. That's my pronunciation. This spirit is the root of all sin, the spirit of Leviathan. In the book that I have, as even scriptures that talk about the spirit of Leviathan, which is a combination. It all centers around pride, but pride, arrogance, and haughtiness. Proverbs 6 and 16 and 17 says, "These six things does the Lord hate, and seventh are an abomination unto Him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood." In Job 40 and 12, it says, "Look on everyone that is proud and bring him low, and tread down the wickedness in their place." It says, "Look down on everyone that is proud and bring him low." So people who have that spirit of pride, they're going to be brought low, and tread down the wickedness in their place. Satan's heart was lifted up with pride because of the spirit of Leviathan. He allowed the very thing that God hates, which was pride, arrogance, and haughtiness, to corrupt his heart. And if you go, or you can write it down, because I'm just going through a lot of scriptures. In Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 17 says, this is talking about Lucifer. It says, "Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty." He was, like I said, he led the praise and worship. He was the anointed that covered it. And he went in places in heaven that most cherubims or most angels didn't even fall. He had access, you know, among the fiery stones, the Bible said, you know. But his heart was lifted up with pride. It says in Ezekiel 28, 17, it says, "Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom. By reason of thy brightness, I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that thou may behold thee." So here he's saying that, you know, you're getting beside yourself. You know, going back to what I stated earlier, you want to always stay small in your own eyes. No matter how much God exalts you, and no matter what God is blessing you to what degree, always recognize that this is God, you know, and is you know, God is using you as an instrument, and it's not you and it's not your own ability. I've seen so many people in ministry exalt themselves. Instead of staying put, instead of walking in humility and waiting on God, they stepped out and got in pride. And when that happens, you know, you walk away from your covering. You walk away from your blessing. And it's hard now for you to submit. And if you're not careful, even when I recognize you're wrong, because that pride has got on the inside, you don't want to even admit you're wrong, because now you got to go and repent and start back, you know, where you left off, and that's why it's so very important to never let it happen to begin with. When you stay, one of the things I always tell people who are in ministry, I say you want to always stay in your lane, stay in your place, stay in this place of anointing. If God called you to be a praise leader, don't try to, you know, do something else that you're not anointed for. Find your gifting, your talents, and your ability. And yeah, sure, God may bless you with other talents and abilities and skills, you know, but wait upon God and let Him do it in His time. Don't you get ahead of God. So many people want to get ahead of God. And you see, that's a prideful spirit, because, you know, Satan wanted to get ahead of God. He wanted to be like God. That's the root of all sin right there. Just, you know, jumping the gun, you know, because I think I can, you know, I think I'm ready. I was watching this movie on Netflix about these two ministers, and they were sitting under this elder minister, and while he's ministering, they're talking about, you know, when gonna be my time to preach. You know, we've been sitting here for X number of years, you know. I'm ready to branch off and to move out, you know. And I never did finish watching, but I just thought it was interesting, you know, just people chomping at the bit. Instead of sitting, serving with honor, you know, and getting all that you can get while you're there, you know, and in God's time, let God launch you forth. Let me read the Amplified Bible to Ezekiel 28:17. It uses the word proud in it. It says, it's talking about Lucifer. It says, your heart was proud and lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I lay you before kings that they may gaze at you. A prideful and an arrogant person is weak and easily falls into temptation. Why? Because once pride grips you, you know, it's easy for Satan to tempt you. You know, actually what Lucifer did after God kicked him out of heaven, and the Bible says, I beheld Satan falling from heaven as lightning to the earth. And so now God created Adam and Eve, and he tells Adam and Eve, you know, to replenish the earth and to subdue it, you know. He gives Adam authority. Satan comes now with that, the deception of pride again. You know, he said, had God said, matter of fact, let's read that. I'm jumping the gun, but I want to, while we're there, we're in Genesis chapter 3. Let's look at Genesis chapter 3. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, talking about Satan, which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, talking about Eve, it says, ye shall not eat of the tree in the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, we shall not eat of it, neither shall we touch it, lest we die. And here's deception. Here's the Satan here. He says, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God does know that in the day that thou eatest thereof, then your eyes are going to be opened, and you shall be as gods. You know, in other words, you're going to be like, what did Lucifer want to do? I want to be like the Most High, you know. And so now he's tempting them with that, with those prideful thoughts of status. And position, you know, you're going to be, you know, just like God, you know, you go, in other words, you're going to be equal with God, you know, and that's what pride does. It puffs you up. It makes you think you're more than who you really are, And that's what pride does. It makes you feel like you're you know, above everybody else, you know, and everybody else is beneath you, you know. And the Bible says that, you know, pride goeth before the fall. When you start lifting yourself up, you know, you're destined to fall, because it's a sin that God hates. You know, it's a sin, and we saw that God hates. Let me read a little bit further. Starting at verse 5 again. For God know that in the day that thou eatest thereof, your eyes are going to be open, and you're going to be, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree was to be desired to make one wise. In other words, here's puffing her up. She took it, and she did eat it, and she gave it to her husband, or Adam, and he did eat. And because of that, the whole earth was actually turned topsy-turvy, simply because of this disobedience and being tempted by that spirit of pride, of being to want to be wise and to be as God. Satan was cast out of heaven. He used the deceptiveness of the spirit of pride to lead mankind into a downward spiral. And we just read that in Genesis chapter 3. And I got all the scriptures I just read. I have it right here. I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's fine. The spirit of pride is completely opposite the spirit of honor. Pride shows no respect to authority and is selfish. Pride is arrogant, believes in individualism, believes in self-dependency, whereas honor shows respect. Honor shows submission. Honor shows loyalty. Honor walks in one accord with other people. Honor has its dependency in God only, and respects and submits to and walks in God's order and authority. That's what honor does. Let me read that again. It says, pride has no respect of authority. Person who's prideful, they might recognize it, but they don't respect it, because they feel like he's keeping them down. You know, it says pride shows no respect to authority. You know, pride, a person who's prideful, they want to be in authority. They want to be the head honcho. They want people to look up to them. That's what pride, because pride has that individual spirit. Satan wanted to be God. Pride, you know. It goes on to say, well, it says pride shows no respect to authority and is selfish. Pride is arrogant. Pride believes in individualism, believes in self-dependency, whereas honor shows respect. Honor shows submission. Honor shows loyalties. Honor walks in one accord with other people. You know, people who walk in honor, they're covenant keepers. You know, keeping the covenant. When you cut covenant and you keep covenant, you're showing honor. You know, because this is, you know, the whole Bible is a covenant that God cut with his children. And God's going to honor his word as we honor God. Amen. So our honor keeps covenant. I don't have it on. I just kind of said that. But it has this dependency on God only, and respects, submits to, and walks in God's order and God's authority. Now, on the other hand, with Satan, Isaiah 14, 12 and 14 says, now this is talking about Lucifer again. He says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did it weaken the nation? And then it says in verse 13, for thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend. Now this is Satan. And notice all the individualism here. He says, for I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also in the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will be above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. You know, selfishness. You know, I don't see no team spirit in that, no kind of way. You know, I see selfish, 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 arrogant, arrogant, arrogant. You know, haughty, haughty, haughty. And that's why he was cast down. You know, and one of the things the author of this book says, in every one of us, there is some degree of pride that creeped in over the years, you know. And I used to hear the expression, and we need to, if it's there, we need to locate it, and not, you know, there used to be those expressions, swallow your pride, or put pride aside. No, you don't want to swallow because you still got it. You know, you want to cast it out. You want to get rid of it. You want to bury that thing. You want to kill it. You want to pulverize it and get it out of your life. Because when you do that, now you're going to become a vessel of honor and glory where God can show his power and his ability through. Because now you're a, that's the word I want to use. I'm thinking of a flashlight. You know, a flashlight has batteries in it. It has a light bulb in it. You know, and those batteries power that light and causes light. The Bible, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." So when you submit to God, God is able now to shine through you to into other people. Why? Because you're letting that light shine through. But see, pride causes the dimness. You know, if you ever had a light, a flashlight, even when you put batteries in it, the thing just don't work. Got a bad connection, a bad contact, the spring or bulb and it went out, or it's just, you know, it's not good for nothing but the trash can. You know, that's what pride is. Pride is a flashlight that just don't work. It has no brilliance to it. Why? Because it will short circuit God's power in your life. Amen. How I'm doing on my time? Where I'm at. Okay, good. All right, we're running good. Okay, let's move on. Okay, this is what pride, since we were just talking about this, this is what pride says. Pride says, I. Pride is full of selfishness. Pride is full of self-exaltation. Pride is overconfident in self or one's own ability. Pride is an independent spirit. Okay, honor says, in him I live, I move, and I have my being. Honor says, of my own self, I can do nothing, but I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That's honor, because you're honoring your the very life source of God to shine through you. And you recognize that, you know, that I'm not, there was a, I think it was, I don't know, was it Edgar Allan Poe? It was some author or some writer. And the title of the book or the sonnet, I don't remember what it was, but it said, no man is an island. Now, everybody is a part of the whole, you know. In other words, don't see yourself as being as an independent spirit. No, the Bible says that we are the body of Christ. And we're members in particular, you know, and each joint is there to supply, you know, and so that the body of Christ can make increase of itself in love, you know. And pride has pride is full of selfishness, exaltation, but honor says, in him I live and I move and I have my being. You know, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. The cause of Satan's fall was his heart was lifted up with pride because he had the spirit of Leviathan. Understanding the definitions of the following words that we talked about earlier will help you to understand the nature of man's greatest enemy. And that word, again, Leviathan, when you look it up, it says that it's a large and powerful monster, a sea serpent or serpent of the sea. A dragon of the sea. In Isaiah 27:1, it says, the word is actually used in scripture. It says, in that day the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan and pierce the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that corked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. Pride, and we gave you this definition already, but pride is a reasonable and a justifiable sense of one's own worth, living for self, a sense of, being better than others, excessive self-esteem, you know, considering oneself excessively dignified. People under the influence of the spirit of pride do not serve or acknowledge spiritual authority or spiritual covering. When you're walking in pride, you're not going to walk in a covering, because a covering means you got to submit. But when you're walking in honor, you're going to submit and you're going to walk under a covering. You're going to be protected. You're going to be in God's perfect will for your life. Let's see. People under the influence of the spirit of pride do not serve or acknowledge spiritual authority or a spiritual covering. Pride blinds people. It makes them unable to receive or to walk in the covenant that they have through the blood of Jesus. They are unable to receive revelation, knowledge, deliverance, prosperity, peace, because of their pride, which has blinded them. Pride will blind you to the truth of God's word. A servant in Christ is a believer who serves the people. If you want to serve, pride will prevent you from serving and submitting to others. Humbleness and humility are required to serve the people. Pride always wants to be on top and in control. A person who is full of pride wants the entire world to submit to him and to serve him. Now listen to this. I want to definitely get this in. Pride always wants to be on top and in control. People who are full of pride wants the entire world to submit and to serve them. A major problem among leaders and believers today is a lack of submission to authority and service. They seek reasons not to serve or to continually justify their lack of submission, especially if they serve under someone whom they consider less knowledgeable or who have served less time in ministry as them. Let me read that again. A major problem of leaders and believers today is a lack of submission to authority. God may put somebody in a position over you who's younger than you, who probably hadn't been saved as long as you, who probably hadn't been under the word as long, but it don't matter. You know, you're to submit to whoever God puts in authority over you. You know, God, he exalts one person and he sets somebody else down, you know, because God, he doesn't look at the outward appearance. You know, he rejected Saul, you know, but God, you know, he chose David, you know, because Saul was rejected. How am I doing? Okay, thank you. All right. If you are experiencing a difficult time submitting or serving to other people, this is an indication that you are under the influence of Leviathan, better known as the spirit of pride. You know, so, you know, one of the things I want you to do is to examine your heart. Lord, if there's areas of service that I have a problem serving, you know, somebody who, you know, just rubbed me the wrong way because, you know, I feel like I should have been in that position or don't let pride creep in, because what it's going to do is it's going to keep you in a position where you're not going to receive from God. And it's like a weed. It's just going to grow and grow. You know, weeds got to be, you got to pull them up at the root to get them out your garden. Amen. All right. I'm going to continue next week, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this spirit of pride and Leviathan and how it affects and is a great deterrent or an adversary to the spirit of honor. And then we're going to get more into the spirit of honor and how you can actually be more honorable. You know, you can sow honor, but you can also, as Jabez, sow more honor or be more honorable by going the extra mile. Amen. All right. You guys be blessed, and we'll see you next week. Amen.